Let's go straight to the Word of God this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's read the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of the living God, which carries power and life. All Scripture is God-breathed. It carries the breath and the life of God. And so you can even receive from God as you hear this word this morning, just the preaching and the speaking of his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. It's an amazing verse, this, because Paul is speaking about something that we, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, something that we have, not will have, but Paul says, we have this treasure. And treasure is something that is valuable, much more valuable than the jar. And this is speaking really about your kind of frail human body. Because the treasure in you is actually what makes the difference in your life. And the secret, I just constantly need to remind you what the secret of the Christian life is. Christ in you. That's the secret. Jesus. Not just the one who walked around Israel. Not just the one who went to the cross for us. Not just the ascended Jesus. He rose again from the dead. Yes. But I want to tell you that he is the glorified, risen, conquering King. This Jesus lives in you, the one who has conquered everything, and because of his life in you, he is the conqueror within. He is the Christ within. That's the secret of the Christian life. And that's why Paul says, we've got treasure. I might not look anything out of the ordinary, but I am extraordinary because of what's in me. You're amazing because of what's in you. If you have Jesus in you, it's amazing what you have. It's astounding. It's actually there, not just to stay hidden, because there's two kinds of things you can do with treasure. You can keep it hidden away and never look at it and never use it. Or you can bring it out to show. Now, I like going to see the Queen's jewels and all the rest of it in the Tower of London. That's on show. And Paul says this treasure isn't to stay hidden in us. It's actually to show that it's of God, not of us. And actually, the key, the secret of your life is this Christ, this conquering, glorious Christ in you, through his Holy Spirit, is actually showing everybody, showing even yourself, that gosh, that's God at work, doing things in and through me, because it's not me. Because I can't do those things that I see the treasure or the Christ in me doing. And that is the whole secret of the Christian life. And Paul goes on to say, it's actually to show, my Bible says, that this all-surpassing power, I don't know if you could grasp that word. I know that some of you may have read this before, but I want to ask you, are you living in the all-surpassing power? Now, I don't believe there's anybody in this room fully living in it, but I do believe it's possible we can. Because Paul expects and Jesus expects that each one of us can actually come up In Ephesians, it speaks about the goal of God for each individual believer in the church of Jesus Christ is to grow up to the fullness or the full stature of Christ. How can we do that? Because of the power of his life. It's another person's power in your life. Aren't you glad that you don't live, or I trust you don't, otherwise you'll be worn out. You don't live by your own power. Because if we live by this other person who is God himself, the Holy Spirit, in us, then we are going to see all surpassing power. Amen. Think about that. Okay, what kind of power you have? You might have some human strength, but I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is able to even strengthen your body like Samson. Has anybody read about Samson? The Holy Spirit came upon him and he was able to do mighty things because of the Spirit of God upon him. And so there is a power that is all surpassing that is for your body from the Christ within. There is a power actually of the divine nature of God. You have the nature of God in your spirit. But God has the power to bring that nature into your soul so that your soul is filled with love. It's filled with joy and peace and patience. It's all about God, you see, giving us the victory in every area of our lives. And I believe that what God is wanting to do in each one of us is show, demonstrate, do something with this all-surpassing power which comes through Jesus Christ. Now, we've seen some of it. I mean, on Thursday night, we had the most amazing prayer meeting here. And I know that many of you testified to the healing power of Jesus in your body. There were people here that were healed because of Jesus doing that work. Now, that is a sign or a show of this great power. It wasn't medicine, it was the power of God. And actually, we are to live as those who have been raised to a new life by the power of God. The Christian life is actually to have the marks of resurrection everywhere. You see, you died, and before you can be raised, you need to be dead. So in Christ, you died, the old you is gone, and the new you has come, and that is a resurrected you, a new you, a born again you. So you have resurrection life, the power of Jesus in you. And Paul goes on to say here, we're hard pressed on every side. So Paul didn't say life was perfect. He said trouble comes against me. Hardship comes against me. People come against me. Situations, even demons are coming against me to try and push me down. But he said, I know that the power of God is more powerful than the trouble. The power of God is more powerful than any devil or demon in hell. The power of God is more powerful than sickness. The power of God is more powerful than lack or need. And it's this all-surpassing power that enables me to live more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. And so Paul doesn't say that the Christian life isn't without trials. And you may be going through a trial at the moment. You may be going through a difficulty in your life. But the secret is the same secret it's been in every generation for every believer, as it was with Paul. Whatever pressures come from to me from outside, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. The great one is in me. And if I know how to release this power, Question mark. Do you? If you know how to release this power, it means you will never bow under the pressure of your circumstances. It means you'll never become deflated or flattened by what's going on around you. Come on, church. That's the great one that's within us. The all-surpassing power. The Christian life is a power life. You do understand that. It's not just a reasoned life or a life where you assimilate facts. It's a life of power. And God wants you to experience this all-surpassing great power. I want to use an analogy for this because, much to your amusement and mine, I once bought a fitness ball. Does anybody know what a fitness ball is? Okay, so there is this big kind of ball that is full of air. You pump it up and you can do exercise. You can do sit-ups on it. You can do push-ups on it. You can do all kinds of stuff. And it's supposed to improve your mortal frame. And this fitness ball, when it's full of air, it kind of has the power, it does have the power to resist whatever and whoever sits on it. And it doesn't matter how big you are, you can actually find the resistance coming from that fitness ball. I trust. And if you don't have the resistance, just pump it up. Get more air in it. Because the more the power is in this ball, the power of air actually, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit in you, actually it doesn't matter who sits on you. Come on. You have the power to overcome and not be flattened by it. Amen. And let me just show you a picture. You can't see that, but that's me. So there's me preparing. I hadn't done any exercise at this point. It was actually for a photograph. So it's just pretend. But this is my fitness ball. And that's flat. It's not supposed to be so flat. And therefore, the weight of my body is flattening. And I want to tell you, whatever weight you're carrying, it shouldn't be flattening you. Whatever is burdening you, you shouldn't be coming under it. Yeah. Why? Because this all-surpassing power needs to be pushing you back up to see a resistance and an ability in God. So people look at you, you should be flattened by something, but you're not. Aren't we supposed to show the world we're not going to be flattened? Paul says, I might be crushed, but I might be pushed down, but I'm not crushed down. They might try and beat me. They might try and do something that is very real against me. But I want to tell you that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And that power is giving life to my whole body. And it's time, church, that we tapped into this power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power of Christ in us. And so the real picture should be of a Christian, not flattened, not sat upon by like this. But even if, can you see it's almost pushing me off? It's like the power of what's in that fitness ball is actually resisting. I want to tell you there's a power in you that will resist whatever's coming against you. You've got the power of Jesus Christ on the inside, the conquering one. And so that image of the fitness ball, you need to learn the secret of how to not be pushed down, but to live inflated with the Holy Spirit. I don't mean inflated with yourself. I mean inflated with the power of God. And that's really the aim of Jesus, that he doesn't just live in your spirit, but he fills your whole life with the very power of Jesus Christ. And it's a victory life. It's not a defeated life. Jesus has called you to be victorious over sin, over sickness, over whatever oppression and trouble comes. God is actually in you, and therefore you cannot be crushed. You cannot be destroyed. You can't be defeated. Now that's the goal. So that when people see you, they see a demonstration of the power of God in your life. I think some of the greatest victories happen in people's lives when the worst situations come about. If they learn the secret of how to live. But if they bow to the pressure, they will always live flattened rather than a raised, supernatural, resurrected, powerful Christian life. So, Ephesians tells us, Paul tells us, that Christ in us is actually the answer, but we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, "Go on being filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, the Holy Spirit is God, the person of God. He's not a force, he's a person. Jesus, when he rose again, he sent his Spirit into the lives of everyone who believed in him. And what Paul is saying, I don't want you to be flattened by life, I want you to be filled with God. Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, who is God, then you will have the power to resist, or the power not to be defeated. Isn't that amazing? You know, there's a story in Acts 14, when Paul was dragged out of a city because they didn't like what he was preaching. And this is what he meant in 2 Corinthians about a little bit of persecution. And he was stoned because they wanted to kill him. And he was left as dead. So, I mean, I'm talking about a little bit of the air out of the fitness ball. The circumstances that actually he was down. But I want to tell you, you can't keep a God man down. Hello, not a good. You've got to be a God man with Christ in you. You can't keep a God man down. And the disciples gathered around Paul. It doesn't say they were praying, but I'm sure they must have said, "God, do something. Raise him." So they're gathering around him. He was left for dead by his enemies. And as they gathered around him, it just says simply in the scriptures, Paul got up and went on to the next town. From being left for dead, the Spirit gave life to his body. He got up and walked. I think we need some of that kind of power. Do you? Do you want some of that kind of power working in your life? This is what Jesus wants. That you'll be flattened by nothing. That you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit to resist and get back up. Not in self-power. We're not raised. That's why we mustn't focus on the jar, which is our own human ability. We must focus on the treasure, which is Christ in us. Amen. I have been, I'd just like to give a testimony before I move on. I've been, since God began this year of destiny, I believe God is bringing us into the greater things that he's been planning for all of us. So excited about our prayer meetings, our worship, about our corporate life, what God's doing. But I just like to give testimony about a healing in my life. I think since I was very young, I must have been about 6, I've always had breathing difficulties, like asthma. And I've been saved. I've been a Christian for years. And every day I would be dependent on some kind of drugs. And I'm a faith preacher. I believe that Jesus heals all my diseases, but I'd never seen the victory in that area. It was like I was flattened in that one area. And about nearly three weeks ago, I was having time with the Lord, and I was just allowing His Spirit to fill me. And I was saying, Holy Spirit, I yield every part of me to You. I yield my body to You. I yield my mind, my emotions. I yield everything. I just give You all that I am. Fill me. Come and fill me now. And, you know, we don't receive except if we believe. We've got to actually believe. I didn't feel anything, if I can just help you on this. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive because you believe that He is doing what He has promised to do, not doing what you're feeling. Because it's according to your faith, what you're believing will be done. So after I'd yielded myself to Him, He began to fill me. And then I kind of just got this idea, which must have been the Holy Spirit filling my thoughts, God filling my thoughts. Why don't you receive healing for your breathing? Well, I said, Lord, I just thank You that You fill my body. Now, nobody's praying for me. I'm not going having a kind of power kind of expression. I'm just sitting there saying, Lord, I receive Your power into my body. And I just felt it was done. I just had a knowing in my heart that it was done. That's it. I've received. I believed. I received. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything happen. But I just believed I'd saved, because that's what we're taught through the words of Jesus on how to receive from God. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe that you receive them, then it'll be yours. So I thought, well, I'm healed, so I actually need to not be relying on medicine. Now, I want you to know I've had medicine with me since I was six. That's a long-term issue, isn't it? It's something that you can be dependent on and not dependent on the power of God. You understand? Are you getting the secret here? I turned all my dependence onto Jesus and asked for His all-surpassing power to fill my body. And nearly 3 weeks, not a blip. Not a problem. God, I received my healing, because my healing is already in me, because my healer is in me. Everything I will ever need is already in me. Faith releases the power of it. Isn't that amazing? Now, I've been preaching for years, but maybe I'm speaking to somebody today who just needs to know this divine power, this all-surpassing power is more than enough, and all you have to do is believe that you've received it and you will have it. And sit with the Lord and say, Lord, I surrender, fill me. Now, this is the secret, is being filled with God. Because just as with Paul, when he physically was knocked down, supernaturally life, the life of God entered his body. And that's really what healing is. God in your body. God, and we heard it a few weeks ago, in your soul. God wants to be in every part of your being. And the secret, Paul says, is this: Christ in you, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, just turn with me, and I'm just going to look at this story so we can learn a lesson from the Bible, from Scripture, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel. How you doing? Is that helpful? Because at any moment of any day, you can receive and not be crushed. Whatever you need is already in you. And you can believe at that moment, night or day, God is filling me. Therefore, nothing negative can stay in my body or in my soul. All surpassing power, so that it's coming against everything that's trying to sit on me. Maybe some of you are going to get healed this morning because you believe this. Huh? Maybe something's going to happen in you to kind of rise in the power of the Spirit today and say, that's not going to get me down anymore. Hello? I'm not going to come down with this. I'm going to be filled and have the power to resist all that's trying to resist me. So John's Gospel. Now, it's a wonderful. It's the first miracle that Jesus performed. We read this in John 2, verse 11. And it says about this first miracle. He revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. So I believe that just by reading this, he's going to reveal his glory to you. Amen. We're going to look into the Word. We're going to see Jesus. He's going to reveal his glory to you. And actually, there's going to be signs and wonders that will follow this Word. Oh yeah, it's good, isn't it? So, let's just read this. I'm going to read through it first because some of you may not know the story. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time hasn't yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons of water. I mean, it's incredible, that. It's a lot. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first. And after the guests have had a little bit too much to drink, they bring on the cheaper wine. But you've saved the best till now." Basically, Jesus had exercised his all-surpassing power, turning something that was natural into something divine. Now the scene is really, if you could say, it's one of the most celebratory things that we do in our lives. We celebrate marriage. We celebrate young couples, or even old couples, can I not be restricted, coming together because they love one another. And this is something the whole of society gets involved in. Everybody comes, they come with their friends, they come with their gifts. And a wedding really is speaking about the celebration of life. And there is something in every human being that wants to celebrate life, that wants to celebrate love in community and in family. And so this scene is actually a scene of joy. It's a scene of hope and dreams, because when a couple come together, they've often got lots of dreams. They've got plans. They talk about things that they're going to do together. And there they are at this wedding. And this is really, for me, if we look into it other than a wedding and we look at our own lives, something that we want to happen in our lives, we think many times it's humanly possible to achieve. We try and do what we want in life out of our own strength. And Jesus wants to teach us a lesson that when we do anything in our own power, or we try and do something in our own strength, it will always lead to failure. I believe that the lesson that the Lord wants to bring is that so quickly life can begin to be disappointed. Your dreams are flattened. What you thought was going to work out amazing ends up being a little bit kind of like that fitness ball with nearly all the air out. And everything looks like it's come to an end. Like the wine, it had stopped flowing. And the point about this, I think, is that as Christians, we should celebrate when we do run out of life ourselves. I think we should see that we are almost in the best position when we have nothing. When we've got nothing to give, when something's dead, when something doesn't carry any ability, you've given up, you say, I can't do this anymore, I've got nothing left. At that point, the human ends and the divine begins. At the point where the old creation recognizes, I can't live this life, the new creation starts. At the point where you're the end of everything, that's when Jesus begins to do the best thing possible in your life. And I just think this lesson needs to be learned over and over again in my life and in yours. I can't live a life of love, a life of joy, and a life of victory unless another person empowers me to do it. And this is, I think, the turning point, the key for the supernatural life and power of God, is seeing your need. Seeing the need for God to do something. Because if you don't see and you keep trying to do something in your own strength, you will continue to fail. You keep trying to get healed. You keep trying to improve a relationship. You keep trying to work out your life and live in what you see Jesus wants you to live in. And I think it's just about time we gave up and let God live his life through us. But we have to see our need. I was reading this week in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is teaching about the ways of the kingdom, how to live the kingdom life. And it's important we know the words of Jesus about how we are called to live. And in Luke chapter 6, he's speaking to his disciples and he speaks to us today. And he says, basically, it's a lesson on love. He's teaching on love. And he says, don't just love those who love you. Okay, think about that. Isn't it easy to love those who love you? Because we like to receive before we give. And we make love conditional. If you do this for me, I'll love you. So Jesus says, don't just love those who love you. And don't be like the sinners who actually do love others. Be different. Be like me. Be sons of the Most High God, which is what we are. But live as sons of the Most High God. And in this chapter, and I was reading it this week, he speaks about loving not just your enemies. He says, I want you to love the unthankful. Doesn't that show you run out of love? Have you ever run out of love with your boss, your pastor, person sitting next to you, your kid, your husband, your wife, friends, the church? Well, brilliant. providing you live in his power. But you see, Jesus was teaching me this week again and again and again that the Christian life isn't just a matter of power, it's the power of love. All of Christianity is based on the word love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can you do that? No, not in your own strength. Then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus even says, love one another in the church as I have loved you. Right, hang on a minute, how's God loved me? That's the standard, that's the measure. That's what we are to do, is love one another as he loved us. How can we do it? I want to tell you, you can't. I want to tell you your wine will run out. I want to tell you it's cheap. And it should run out because it actually doesn't have the quality. And the best wine is what God does in you. And don't blame everybody else for your disappointments. Because every one of us have disappointed one another. Get out of the pointing game. Don't say, I'd be better off if I didn't know you. Say, I need love. I need the love of God to fill my life, the power of God to fill me, so that I love with the love of another person. I love with the love of God. And Jesus, in this teaching in Luke 6, says, be kind to the unthankful, and to the wicked. Oh, gosh. You know, I think we've got these grades of love, right? Grade 1, 2, grade, I don't know, 7, I don't know how many there are. There's probably even more. Grade 1. Right, I love my wife, my family, my kids. Grade 2, stretch. I love my aunts, my uncles, even at Christmas. Grade 3. Kind of love the church, but maybe not as Jesus wants me to. I think I fall down on that one. Because I have preferential love, not unconditional love for everyone. Grade 4, sinners. Well, I love some of them, but some of them pretty nasty. In fact, some of them have hurt me. Those people who don't know the Lord. And then, wicked sinners. I just thought, what would we be like? Not justifying what's wrong, but how would we be if we were Christians in Iraq, where ISIS has taken 90 of our community? Who knows what's happening to them? Would we pray for our enemies? Would we do the Paul thing, not allow it to deflate us, but get back up and say, this all-surpassing power is not of me to love. I don't have it, but Jesus does. And I can love the wicked. I can love the unthankful. I can love the one closest to me who's disappointed me since we started out our journey. Because I'm not here to point the finger at what they're not doing. I'm here to listen with ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that must be me personally. Don't listen for somebody else. It's the biggest pharisaical thing you could ever do because you're not listening to God speaking to you. And Jesus is saying to us about the wine of life, the life, the best life, isn't found in human ability. It's found in the treasure, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I truly believe the best thing, I know we love to prepare couples for their marriage and their wedding day. Oh, life together, not just the day, for heaven's sake. Life together. And actually the best thing you could give the person you marry or are married to is this recognition of your need, not to love them as you want to, but to love them with the love of God. The best thing would be you end all your emotions and start to live in the power of God's love. What is this love? Let's have 1 Corinthians 13, because this is what they say at weddings, and guess what? We're at a wedding today. This is where we're in a celebration of life. God wants us to celebrate life, doesn't he? And he is here. And this is a description, really, of love. But I want to help you with this description, because if you could only hear this, this is God in you. I want to describe God in you, right? Not what you've got to do, but the power to live in the love of God and allow God to do it in you and through you. You understand? So this is not another message of, well, I don't reach that goal and I don't reach that goal. Say, Lord, forgive me for all my own human trying and attempts. I give up. Fill me with your spirit so that your love will work through me. Amen. Yes. So what is love? God is love. So we could say God endures long, but we're going to speak about love, which actually is the nature of God. Love endures long and is patient and kind. That's God in you. Love is never envious or boils over with jealousy. I love that. It isn't boastful or vainglorious. In other words, it's not displaying itself haughtily. It's not kind of saying, look at me, I'm better than you. It's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly, and it doesn't act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, because it's not self-seeking. It's not touchy. It's not fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It doesn't rejoice with injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything. Think of the fitness ball. And everything that comes, and ever ready to believe the best of every person, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to the end. Isn't that amazing? The love of God in us. You have the power of God to love like that. That's the secret of the Christian life. I can't in myself, but through him I can love with the love of God. I often need to come to a point where I realize, Lord, do it in me and do it through me. And I do it. I receive his love in the same way I received healing the other day. Lord, I surrender. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I believe, I don't act on my feelings, I believe that you want to love through me and fill me with your love. And this life is an all-surpassing power. See, if you don't have love in you, there's no power. Because the power of God for miracles, whatever he wants to do, always works through love. Many of us want to see signs and wonders, but maybe the greatest sign and wonder is that you start loving with the love of God. And that's our hope, church, that we can live in the power of God's love. So what does Jesus tell them to do? Well, he says, get these water pots and fill them with water. And these pots were for ceremonial washing. So in other words, they were clean. Jesus makes us clean. cleanses us from all our sin. And then he says, be filled with the Spirit, which is another symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it means there is no room for anything else. There's no room for selfishness. There's no room for sin. There's no room for negativity. There's no room for depression even, because joy will fill your whole being. Fill the water pots. In other words, fill your lives. Not half full, not three quarters, but totally full of the Holy Spirit. We need to give ourselves to Jesus without reserve. Don't hold anything back. Lay it all before him, everything, every part of you, and say, fill me. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. And then, this is also the secret of the demonstration of the power of God. Jesus says, draw some out. Don't leave it in the jar. Start giving. And in the giving, water turns to wine. And so he said to these servants, he said, take some out and go and give it to the master. Now, if you think about those servants, they will have known they put water in. And in fact, they'd have known that it would have been an insult to go and say, here, this is what's next on the menu, water. But they trusted Jesus to actually do what he said, just simply give out of what you have, and that will turn into the divine. You know, relationships come unstuck when people stop giving out of the power of the Holy Spirit, the divine love of God. That is the danger with when we get so filled with ourselves, we take things for ourselves. And God says, take some out in faith and give it away from yourself. And in the giving, you will see transformation. So don't just receive the Holy Spirit. Take some out and give it away. Give away what you've received in faith that God is going to do something extraordinary through you. This all-surpassing power may be of God and not of us. That's what we want, isn't it? Draw some out. The best wine is when you pour it out for others. If you could just see that this is the secret of the all-surpassing power. Being filled with the Spirit, not yourself, not with anything else, yielding completely to him. Then it is saying, I'm going to be a giver of what God's given me. Freely I've received, freely I'm going to give. And in that giving, we see his glory. If we could see a church raised in the power of God's love. We haven't yet seen that, have we, church? Because we kind of get in the way, get filled with ourselves and what we want and who we don't like. And, you know, I'll love to this point, but I won't love that way. And we've just got to come back to the simplicity that actually Jesus can fill us with his love to love the unlovely, to love even those who persecute us and pray for them. Because the love of God is the power of God. And it will break down every wall. Love never fails. And we must stop looking to how other people love us. But we need to look to Jesus. That his love in us is more than enough. If you're complete yourself in Christ, in the love of God, then you will add to a relationship and not always be taking. And I think it's a time that the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to do something in your day you wouldn't believe, even if you saw it. And this is the first sign that your lives are filled with divine life, with the wine of the Spirit. But before, you see, this is the first miracle. This is like the family of God must be filled with the Holy Spirit and see the wine of the Spirit transform our lives. That we love with the love of Jesus and not hinder everything with natural and with kind of boundaries to love. Lord, be loosed in my life so that love will flow through me as I serve others and serve others with what God has given me. Let's stand together.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.